Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Astec LifeSciences Q2 FY 2022 earnings conference call hosted by Axis Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ankur Periwal from Axis Capital Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Lisa. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the earnings call of Astec LifeSciences Limited for Q2 and H1 FY 2022. We have with us today, Mr. Nadir Godrej, Chairman of Godrej Agrovet Limited and Astec LifeSciences Limited. From Godrej Agrovet, we have with us Mr. Balram S. Yadav, Managing Director, and Mr. S. Varadaraj, Chief Financial Officer. From Astec LifeSciences Limited, we have Mr. Ashok Hiranath, Managing Director, Mr. Anurag Roy, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Saurabh Bhala, Chief Financial Officer. We would like to begin the call with a brief opening remarks from the management, following which we will have the forum open for an interactive Q&A session. Before we start, would like to point out that some statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature, and actual results may differ from those expressed or implied. Would now like to invite Mr. Nadir Godrej to make the initial remarks. Over to you, Mr. Godrej.
Good day, everyone. I welcome you all to the quarter two and first half fiscal year 2022 earnings call of Astec LifeSciences. I hope you are safe and healthy. COVID-19 cases have declined steadily in quarter two fiscal year 2022 after a brutal nationwide second wave, and the economy is steadily returning to normalcy. Key macroeconomic indicators such as GST collection, the Purchasing Manufacturing Index, the power consumption are signaling a good economic recovery. The business environment is expected to further improve as the vaccination drive gathers traction. We expect the situation to be better in the second half of the year. The agricultural sector is again expected to perform well with record output expected. This is expected to benefit the farmers and the companies operating in this segment. The demand for our products remains strong both in the domestic and international markets. Though the end product prices of a few products have softened in the first half, a gradual price increase is expected in the near term. Moving to the financial and operating performance for the second quarter and the 6 months ended September 30th,  2021, the key highlights are as follows. Astec reported a consolidated total income of 103 crore in quarter two of fiscal year 2022 as compared to 157 crore in the quarter two of the previous year. The total income for the first half fiscal year 2022 was 233 crore as compared to 270 crore in the first half of the previous year. In quarter two fiscal year 2022, EBITDA and profit before tax were 22 crore and 12 crore respectively, compared to 31 crore and 24 crore in the same period of the previous year. For first half fiscal year 2022, the EBITDA and profit before tax were 48 crore and 30 crore respectively, compared to 61 crore and 46 crore in the same period of the previous year. The sudden and extensive flooding at Mahad impacted the production of all the chemical companies, including ours at MIDC Mahad. Quarter two was a challenging quarter. In the current year, we had sales degrowth of about 34%, primarily due to the flood, which resulted in our plants being non-operational for about 15 days, also due to the unavailability of power supply from the local state electricity board. After a detailed assessment, we are happy to inform you that there was no significant damage to our assets and hence we were able to start production promptly from the day that the power supply was restored by the local authorities. Geographically, quarter two sales growth was mainly driven by the export business, which grew by 8% in terms of volume. Domestic sales were lower by 28% in terms of volume, as we allotted limited available stocks to exports on a priority basis, since for the export business, we also faced challenges in getting containers due to the global shortage of containers, and the freight costs were steadily increasing. In spite of the focused export push, there is almost 33% of our quarter two export sales, including CRAM sales, are deferred to quarter three due to the non-availability of shipments on account of the global container shortage, which is acute for hazardous containers. The gross profit margin for the quarter two fiscal year 22 was 50% compared to 36% in the quarter two of the previous year. And the gross profit margin for the first half fiscal year 22 was 44% as compared to 39.5% in the previous year. The gross profit margin improvement in quarter two fiscal year 22 was due to a mix of factors, including product mix, higher sale price realization in some key products, and backward integration benefits. Further, some exceptional adjustments were done in quarter two of the previous financial year, where we had provided a sum of 6.5 crore being a write-down of inventory to its net realizable value due to a significant fall in prices of one of the products. The EBITDA margin for quarter two fiscal year 22 was at 21.4% compared to 20.1% in the quarter two of the previous year, and the earnings before income tax and amortization margin for, and the EBITDA margin for first half fiscal year 22 is at 20.5% as compared to 23% of the first half of the previous year. Other expenses such as power costs, freight costs, and other fixed costs have increased due to the commencement of our new herbicide plant in quarter two. Commercial production at our herbicide plant started in the month of August, and the first CRAMS product cycle has been successfully completed. Construction at our new state-of-the-art R&D facility was delayed due to some procedural changes. We expect the R&D facilities to be completed by the next financial year. In the meantime, we increased the R&D capacity by using lab space to cater to our increased developmental requirements. For the second half, we expect demand for our key products to remain strong, which will drive volume growth. While the input raw material prices are going up significantly due to disruption in supply chains from China, we expect to pass the price increases to our customers in the coming quarter, and hence our margins will sustain. We are also in the process of launching 4 new contract manufacturing products and 1 product in enterprise sales. We believe that we will be able to successfully achieve our fiscal year 22 profitability target. With this, I end my opening remarks, and we will be happy to take your questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Abhijit Akela from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon and thank you so much. One clarification, first of all, just wanted to confirm that I heard you right when you said that about 33% of 2Q export sales, including CRAM sales, have been deferred to 3Q. So, Is that correct? And so what would the total amount be that has been deferred, and that should be recognized in 3Q?
Shall I answer that?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got about 21.5 crores of revenue that's been deferred to the next quarter. That's the number. Right, Saurabh?
Yes, that's the number.
Yeah, yeah. 21.5. And just to add on, 8 crore worth of salvage is also lying because we are not able to get the shipment on time. So it's about 30 crore in total.
Oh, so the total amount is 29.5 or 30 crores.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah. And is this more in the CRAMS segment, which is much higher margin, or this is more in the enterprise side?
It's a mix of both.
Okay. Got it. And also on the gross margins, the 50% spike, I mean, the spike to 50% that we see in the gross margins, is there an inventory write-back amount of 6.8 crores? Did I hear that correctly?
Actually, there's an effect over here. That is only for the purposes of comparing quarter on quarter. In terms of this gross margin of 50%, which is showing for this quarter, there's an actually beneficial effect on account of this stock valuation system because this 40 crores of inventory, which went up in this quarter, actually absorbed the fixed costs, and therefore, the effective margin appears to be higher, which is really an abnormal effect of a higher inventory level in this quarter. But the normalized margin would be in line with previous quarters in the range of about 40%. This is an abnormal margin on account of this accounting kind of an anomaly.
Okay. So you're referring to the cost of raw materials less the stock adjustment. That's what you're referring to?
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. And is it just possible to share the export versus domestic revenue breakdown for the quarter?
Yeah. This year, this month, this quarter, it was about 55% exports. 55% exports, yeah.
Got it. And one last quick thing, and I'll jump back in the queue. You mentioned that for FY22, we expect to achieve our profit target. So I'm sorry, but if you could please just remind us what the target is and where we expect to get basically this year. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, we had our guidance usually is 15%-20% annualized growth. We've been maintaining a generalized kind of guidance like that. So we are doing our best. And you might say you did only so much now, and how are we going to kind of make it up in the second quarter? Well, one of the things is that the CMO products are skewed very much in the second half. This first half had very little CMO products, so the more high-margin products will come in the second half. We're also going to kind of pass on the price increases in the RM and also improve our margins in the second half and the volumes. And therefore, overall, we are optimistic and trying our best to achieve our guidance.
Great. Thank you so much. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and want to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Shravan Vora, an investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. Hi. Good afternoon. And hope all is well with you. I had one suggestion. First suggestion being that can we from next quarter have a press release that explains our numbers a bit better and whatever, like other companies do and talk about what affected and what happened in the quarter? That gives much more clarity. Even if we don't do an investor presentation, we can just do a formal press release. That was the first question. That was the first suggestion. My question was regarding the herbicide plant. So last, when we spoke, we expected about 18 months to reach full capacity on the plant. So are we on that target, or are we delayed there also?
Yeah. The good news on the herbicide plant is that it went on stream in August. The first campaign of the first product that we were meant to produce has been completed successfully. It meets all the cost and quality expectations. We have started the production on a second product, which is again a new product for us. So we continue to have the same expectation that in the first year we will have about 30 to 35% of capacity utilization, going to 100% utilization in the third year. So we are well on track in achieving that.
And second question is on the margin front. So we are traditionally doing like a 21% kind of EBITDA margin. So earlier you were mentioning that in the herbicide plant and the new molecules that we are coming up with, especially in CRAMS, are margin more like 25% on the EBITDA level. So am I correct in that understanding?
Yeah, as we always said, our CMO business gives us a contribution which is about 5% better than our enterprise sales. And as the proportion of CMO business increases, our EBITDA margins will incrementally go up. But the blended average of the whole thing, we expect for it to go up from 22% to 24% or so in the coming years.
Right. And just one last thing I wanted to ask for. In the opening remarks, Mr. Godrej mentioned that we had some delays in our R&D facility. So we had a lot of plans in fluorine chemistry, and you had mentioned that our bandwidth does not allow us today to take on a lot of chemistries because of having low R&D capabilities. So does this defer our plans also ahead, or how should we see that?
Well, we're still on track to bring it online by the end of fiscal 23. So in the meantime, what we did was we hired some facilities around to increase our bandwidth. So at the moment, we're coping with all the projects that we have. So as we told you, we're introducing 4 new CMO products this year. And that we've been able to do with the existing R&D infrastructure we have. But naturally, we are looking forward to the commissioning of the new facility, which will increase our bandwidth by multifold.
Right. So, and one last thing I would like to ask you is because this the Mahad area has seen these high rainfalls a lot many times. I've been seeing other listed
companies.
Sorry
to interrupt,
Mr.
Vora. Sir, we are not able to hear you clearly.
Okay, just a second. Is it better now?
No, sir. Can you use the handset mode while speaking? Because the audio is not sounding clear.
No, I'm using the audio mode. Is it better now?
Sir, slightly better. Please proceed.
Yeah. So my question was on the Mahad facility. A lot of other companies have also reported this flooding at Mahad, even last year also. So is there any permanent solution or anything as a management that we are trying to do at our facility which protects us from these nature-driven issues going ahead? Because Mahad has traditionally seen a lot of rainfall earlier also.
Yeah, no, Mahad has seen rainfall in the past, but it was mainly affecting the people who are next to the river. And also the people, the town, the city used to get flooded, and the units near the river used to get flooded. But where we were located, we've never seen such kind of flooding that's occurring in all the 25 years that we've been there, 20 years that we've been there. This is definitely a result of climate change and severity of climate that we're seeing now. So now that we know that this is the new norm, we have initiated plans to modify some of our facilities to mitigate the effects of a flooding situation in the future.
Perfect. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in this conference, we request you to limit your questions to two per participant only. The next question is from the line of Mithun Aswath from Kiva Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to understand, because of your shutdown, because of the floods, how much of revenue loss? That was the question I had. And number two was, would you be able to recover this production loss in the subsequent two quarters? So you would be able to achieve those revenue targets of 20% that you were looking at. Thank you.
Well, we lost 15 days of production. I can't put a number to it right now. 15 days out of 3 months of production, you're talking about 15 out of 6. So one-sixth of the output was lost. Now in terms of production that's lost is lost forever. You know, you can't make it up. So the way we're trying to make it up is through better realizations, better capacity utilization, better product mix, the CMO business that's coming in. So there's different ways we're going to make it up. But the production that we lost in those 15 days is lost forever.
Right. Now, I just wanted to understand that because on a Y-on-Y basis, there's been a substantial fall on your top line. And how much of that could be attributed to, the market being weak? And how much of that is attributed to the loss in production? So just wanted to get a sense on that. If all things were normal, would you have been able to grow Y-on-Y in the September quarter? Because it was a high base. So just wanted to get a sense.
We would have grown. The answer to that, there are actually three factors that have led to the decline. One is the drop in the pricing of one key product that we had, which now is recovering. And therefore, in the second half, we expect to get better pricing. Then there was the stoppage of production and loss of production. And the third was this deferment of sales that we talked about, the 30 crores of revenue that didn't come because of non-availability of containers. So there were the three factors that were in play. So the answer to your question is, if these things were not there, we would have seen an increase in sales, yes. Because if you see volumetrically, we've actually grown in first half, you know.
Got it. And also just wanted your CapEx targets for this year, because you were looking at a significant amount of CapEx. Is that still on track, or has that been postponed or anything because of these floods?
No. They are still on track. We plan to spend 150 crores, as we've been saying. We're going to be spending on the new R&D center. We've already completed the herbicide facility, so some of that CapEx is completed. And there will be some CapEx on the new fungicide plant we were talking about. We are on track with our investment plans.
Right. And this is one last one, if I can sneak that in. What would the kind of asset turnover that you expect on, say, a herbicide facility once it is completely running at full capacity?
That would be depending on the product mix, so anywhere between 1.7 to 1.9.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Nikhil from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes.
Hello. Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my question is, as you mentioned, the RM prices have seen a lot of volatility. Can you just help me understand what is the amount of cost increases we have seen in the absolute? So that is one part. And then continuation, in October, the things which are happening in China with respect to the power outages and all, are you seeing more inflation on a sequential basis? So that is one part. And secondly, as you mentioned, in second half we would be able to pass on all the price increases. When you are talking to the customers, both on the CMO and on the proprietary, how are they looking at this this whole sequence of events? Is it like they are accommodatable to the amount of disruptions which are happening? As a result, the price pass through is becoming much easier, or is it like still a lot of negotiations are required? Just to understand how the whole dynamics are playing out.
So the answer to the first question about whether the prices are going up continuously, the answer to that is that it depends on the product. It is the best way to answer it is that they are volatile. So some are continue to go up, some also come down, then they go up, and so it's, you know, it's a very dynamic situation. What we've been doing is we've been stocking up so as to hedge ourselves against shortages and price increases. So we've done a pretty good job in terms of covering our raw materials and hedging ourselves against continuous increases. In terms of resistance from our customers to accept the price increases, we are finding that they're pretty understanding because they're not the only ones. Everybody is in the same position. So the market is taking it quite reasonably. Interestingly, they're able to pass it on to the end consumer.
Okay. And just one continuation, just a last point here. Like in many industries, we see that the pricing is done as a RM plus the operating cost. So RM becomes a price pass-through. In this environment where there is so much volatility and everyone is prognosing from 6 months to 1 year anywhere this can continue, do you sense that the whole pricing environment could move from cost plus basis wherein cost increases become a direct pass-through, or we'll have to continue with the process of going to them and renegotiating, or any change on the pricing dynamics with the customers?
Oh, the cost plus model will continue, except that the frequency of the cost revisions that you can ask for has to be reasonable. You can't go to them every month. So customers expect that when they give you an order for something, that you will cover yourself for 3 months, 6 months, and maintain. I mean, we particularly, because we are financially quite sound, we are able to cover and kind of take positions and maintain inventory. Therefore, we can give price stability for a reasonable period of time. But on the other hand, they are understanding that every quarter you can go back to them and talk to them about a new price if everything is a significant change.
And just lastly, which would mean that there would be a pressure on the working capital till the time this scenario sustains for most of the companies and even for us.
Luckily, we are borrowing at very, very fine rates. Our borrowing rate is now 4.1%. So we're taking advantage of that. In fact, the way we are using our working capital funds is also changed now. I think I'll get my CFO to explain to you how we're taking advantage of this to improve our profitability. Saurabh, can you explain?
Sure. So as Ashok sir was mentioning, our borrowing rate is one of the best in the industry. And this year we have been improving on that. What we are doing is factoring the fund crunch at the supplier end and also the availability issues. We have reduced our payment terms with most of the vendors, thereby helping them. We are paying them earlier. That has two benefits. One, we get the best kind of RM pricing. Second, the raw material availability is ensured. We are the preferred supplier to them. So in both the ways, it is quite beneficial to the business, and that is helping us a lot in this time.
Sure. Thanks a lot, sir. Thanks for the explanation. Yeah, I'm done.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Alisha Mahawla from Envision Capital. Please go ahead. Alisha, your line is in the talk mode. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Good afternoon, sir, and thank you for taking my question. So firstly, I'd like to know, have we taken any price hikes in H1 or in Q2?
Yes, we have. But as I said earlier, there's a little bit of a lag between getting a price hike and you're passing it on to your customer. But now we feel that in H2 we are synchronized with the price increases, whereas in the first half we were not so well prepared for these changes and not expected. But we have taken price hikes, and as I said to the earlier gentleman, our customers have been understanding, and in H2 as well, the same thing is happening.
Sure. Is it possible to quantify how much price hike we've taken in H1?
No, that depends on the product. It's very, very hard to give you a general number, but some products have even gone up by 30%, and some products have 15%. So it's hard to give you a number. But
okay.
some products have gone up very significantly.
Okay. Okay. And so in this quarter, obviously for the 3-4 reasons that you highlighted, we've definitely had a volume degrowth. But I do remember that you mentioned earlier in this call that in H1 we've grown in volume. Is it possible to quantify what is the volume growth we've seen in H1?
Yeah, the number is there. Can you dig it out, Arjit or somebody?
In H1, the volume growth was about 11%.
Okay. Understood. And just one last, also, while you gave the split of domestic and exports to an earlier participant, is it also possible to say what is our current contribution from the CDMO business?
As I said, it's 5% better than our enterprise sales.
Not margin, contribution to revenue.
I said contribution to revenue actually in the first half was very negligible. It was barely in single digit numbers. That's because of two factors. One is that the herbicide plant was commissioned, but because it's a new plant, we've accumulated all the production. It has to be approved by the customer, which has happened, and therefore it will be invoiced in the second half. And somehow this year all the orders have been bunched up in the second half, and therefore, as we said earlier, we're going to see on an annualized basis a growth in CMO business of about 7 to 8%. But it's all skewed in the second half.
Okay. Any reason why the CDMO growth is relatively lower? It will definitely be lower than overall growth of business, and I believe earlier we used to do much higher growth in this segment.
Yeah.
And this is despite herbicide now going to contribute in H2.
Yeah. The two factors is, there was one big CMO product which we were doing, and the customer is holding a lot of inventory. So that was, we didn't sell any of that this year, and I think it's only going to come back online by the end of next year. And the new herbicide products that we're introducing are the capacity utilization is low, and they're still in the process of ramping up. So in this year, we've got a fairly subdued CMO growth rate. But when we look at our projections in the next few years, there's going to be a very aggressive, very high level of growth in the CMO business. I mean, for example, in FY23, we're looking at a 50% growth in CMO business.
Okay. Got it. And just one last question before I get back in the queue. I do believe that there was, as you mentioned earlier in the call, there's a fungicide plant that also we're looking at. Do we have details of what is the total capex? By when will it be ready? Acetone? Anything that we're ready to share right now?
Not ready to share right now. It's still the detailing is going on. We will be able to tell you at the next investor call.
Okay. Thank you, sir. And all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Saurabh from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Sir, I just wanted to understand what kind of volume growth we can achieve from the existing enterprise business. Is there any scope there we can increase the volume?
Yeah. See, this year we are looking at the value growth of about 20-25% in enterprise sales, resulting from about a 10-15% growth in volumes. Going forward, when you see we'll be able to achieve single-digit growth out of debottlenecking and other kind of efficiency improvements from our existing molecules. So our growth in the future will come from new enterprise sales and new CMO products.
Okay. And in terms of this herbicide plant, so what portion of capacity right now is under the CMO agreement?
This year, we will be utilizing about 30% of the capacity, but non-CMO business will be about 30% of that.
Okay. And next year, it should be CMO should be much higher?
Then the CMO proportion will become higher.
Okay. And about the new fungicide plant, so will it be only catering to the enterprise business, or there also we will have a mix of CMO business as well as enterprise business?
At the moment, it's being designed for the enterprise business, but this is an area where inquiries and new projects can come at any time, and we're ready to fit that into the new facility, which will be quite a large facility, actually.
Oh. Okay. And just one last thing on the cash flow. So this first half, you have seen a good cash flow from operation. So is it because of the higher export sales that help us in terms of a better data split?
No. Please repeat your question.
So the H1 this year cash flow from operation was much better than the last year first half. So is it because of the export sales, the higher contribution from export sales has led to this a better cash flow?
Yeah. Okay. I'll pass this question on to our CFO. Saurabh, please.
Sure. It's a mix of both. Our collection efficiency has improved because we have been very focused on selecting our customers post-COVID. So the collection year-to-year basis as compared to last year has gone up, both from domestic as well as from export customers. And also some bit is there because we have reduced our sales as because of all the factors. So that has also reduced the receivable overall.
Okay. Thank you. That was helpful.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in this conference, we request you to limit your questions to two per participant only. The next question is from the line of Ankur Periwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you. Sir, one question, on the global size and the China's presence there. If I go back, you had earlier mentioned, we are around $2.5-3 billion total triazole market globally. And China was a significant, has a significant share in that market. Any thoughts that you would have seen on the ground, some pushback from the clients, from the customers, which has been beneficial to us? And from a new product perspective, how are we placed to capture on that opportunity?
No, definitely. As I said, what had happened was, if you look at it traditionally, China was the powerhouse in agrochemicals. And so it was, the companies had Chinese sources and they had India as an alternative source. And so the first phenomenon that's happening is that if it was 75% China, 25% India, that 25% is going up to 50%, 60%, and in some cases maybe 75%, and 25% China. And certainly when it comes to new products and when people are making, customers are making strategy, they're looking at having the primary source in India and the secondary source in China. We're seeing that phenomenon on the ground.
Sure. Sure. And the CapEx that, you know, we have planned 150 odd crores this year and probably around, you know, 300-350 crores, what you had suggested over a 2-3 year window. Does that take care of the new, you know, plants or the new CapEx for the newer products that we plan? Or there is still significant room there and there could be a further, you know, number going up there?
Actually, if you ask me, my recent kind of evaluations are indicating that that investment figure may go up. And we are prepared to do that. So we're going to be more aggressive on our investment plans in the future.
Sure, sure. That's helpful. And from a, you know, capability perspective and, you know, the new innovation, the newer range of products there, the R&D center, which is coming more like FY23 end, in between, you know, will we be technically capable enough to expand that product portfolio, or it will be after that R&D center coming up?
No, as I told you, we've developed so many products. We're able to introduce 4 CMO products this year. We're going to be introducing 2 enterprise sales molecules next year, large scale ones, not to mention more CMO products. So our pipeline, we're able to develop a number of products in the existing setup. So it's just that we'll be able to do a lot more when the new R&D center comes up.
Sure, sure. And just one follow-up on the earlier question. You did mention, you know, we had been facing a significant pricing pressure for one of our key products. Your earlier comment suggested that, you know, now that pressure is tapering off. Is there some demand-supply mismatch there, some capacity shutdown, or this let's say, improvement in pricing or, let's say, stability in pricing is here to stay?
It's here to stay for the second half of this year. What's going to happen next year, we'll have to see. But looking at the the situation with the electricity supplies, the coal supplies. Recently, there was an explosion in a plant, which is in an industrial park where there is a producer of our competitor's product. And so, if there's a shortage of production there, we may see a better realization than we expected.
Okay. Great, sir. That's helpful. Over to you, Rizan. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Akela from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks so much for taking the follow-up. Sir, on the new product plans that you talked about, you know, the 4 CMO products plus 1 enterprise product this year and two next year, if I heard you correctly. So a couple of things. One is, are these 2 products next year coming up, you know, are those in that triazoles category that you mentioned previously you were evaluating? You were, you know, looking at three triazoles. And second, if you could also please just help us with the timeline for commercial supplies of these products, you know, whichever quarter it might be. Thanks.
Yeah, they are triazole fungicides, and we expect commercial supplies to start in Q4 of FY23.
Yeah, okay. So these are the 2 enterprise products next year. What about the ones this year? When are these starting? The 4 in CMO and the 1 in enterprise?
Phase-wise, as I said, 1 is already done. The other one, production has started. And the other 2 will take place in Q3 and Q4.
And are these all under the herbicide umbrella or are they in other chemistries as well?
Some of them are intermediates, but they're herbicide intermediates.
Okay, got it. And then on, you know, I believe the propiconazole prices have been rising quite sharply in the last, you know, 2 or 3 months. Is there a commensurate increase in input costs as well, or would we expect this to benefit our bottom line going forward?
No, I think it will improve our bottom line going forward.
Got it, great. One last thing was just on the senior management side. You know, if you could just kind of educate us on any further additions to the senior management ranks, or any attrition, that would be helpful. Thanks.
Yeah, we've brought on board a new chief executive officer, a CEO called, his name is Anurag Roy. So he's in addition to the team. The plan is that I will be stepping down at the end of March, and he will be taking over my position at the end of March of 2022. Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, and wish you all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shravan Vora, an investor. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question again. I had just two more questions. One was, we started this backward integration journey much ahead of industry, and that is coming to benefit us now. I just wanted to get a sense of how much is the current dependence of Aztec on Chinese raw materials in totality.
Yeah, it's still, 65% of our imports are from China still. Correct, Arijit?
Yes.
Yeah, 65% of our imports are from China. But having said that, there are two things to qualify that statement. About half of that is a raw material which we have developed and manufactured, but at the moment we are manufacturing limited quantities because the Chinese price is so low that we don't find it kind of advantageous to make it ourselves. But the moment that they increase the prices, we can make it ourselves and reduce our dependence. So to that extent, we have a make or buy decision and a capacity already lying and kind of ready to get into production whenever required. Over and above that, we have another three backward integration projects which will be taken up this year and early next year. So that ongoing kind of backward integration program is continuing.
Great. And I heard you mentioning to some other participants that contribution to CMO for this quarter was a single-digit number. But if I remember correctly, for last year for FY21, and prior to that, it was more like 20-25% of our total sales. Am I correct?
Yeah.
So we expect to get back to this number gradually as the herbicide plant scales up and we have those CMO contracts going in the second half?
Yeah. Yeah. See, CMO is a business where the customers also have campaign-wise production. This is going to be something that varies from year to year, you know. So when the customer is taking a campaign, they'll say, you supply us in Q1 and Q2, or if they're doing it in Q4, they'll tell us to supply it in Q3. So this is going to vary from year to year. We have to look at this on an annualized basis.
Right. No, but as a management team, what are our targets for the CMO business as a total percentage, say 3 years from now, probably taking it up to 50%, 40%, any number to that?
You see, the to give you a number, I mean, our aspiration is to go to 40%, and that's what we were saying earlier. But what's happening is that our enterprise sales is also growing quite fast, and therefore, as a proportion, it kind of decelerates. But in absolute terms, our CMO business is, when we see the next 3 years, it'll be growing at a compounded rate of 50%.
At the rate of 50%, 50. Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Thank you so much and all the very best. And happy Diwali to all the team.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Thank you. I hope we have been able to answer all your questions. If you have any further questions or would like to know more about the company, we would be happy to be of assistance. Stay safe and stay healthy.
Thank you once again for taking the time to join us on this call, and happy Diwali to everybody.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Axis Capital Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.